This show is sponsored by MidasResources.com, your trusted source for precious metals since 1996. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So when we started the Paracast Plus, the promise, of course, is higher quality audio on the recordings. Not just commercial free, but higher quality. Of course, during this time, Chris has been away from his home studio, and so we had to rely on him on the cell phone network. Now he has an iPhone 5S, which has excellent audio. But when that excellent audio interacts with a subpar wireless network, it still doesn't sound that great. But today you're back to normal, Chris, more or less.
Yeah, complete with all the marbles in my mouth.
Oh, that's right. You have marbles in your mouth and also chewing gum. I forget, chewing gum.
Occasionally, yeah. One time I got caught finishing up breakfast on our first segment and got busted for it.
I just wonder about people who listen to things that carefully.
Well, it's good to be back here at Home Central. Quite a trip I had, taking around a bunch of acolytes following a Pakistani guru. It was quite the adventure.
Now, let me understand here. Is a Pakistani guru just someone from Pakistan, or is that a specific title?
No, he's a Pakistani who now lives in South Africa, and evidently at some divine mother temple in Turkey in 2010, one of his followers had what would you call it, I guess some sort of divine revelation somehow tied in with the divine mother, which I guess would be, you know, the kind of Mother Mary sort of archetype. And evidently it spread to him and his wife, and they were instructed to go around the world and activate power spots through group meditation, which kind of rings a bell, sort of almost Stephen Greer-like. But I'll tell you, it was interesting traveling around with a bunch of Tariqs and Sabus and Abu, and there was several guys named Mohammed, and one guy's name was even Mohammed Mohammed. So that was fun.
Really? Really?
Yeah. Really, really.
Oh, well.
That was very fun. The only time we ran into any sort of problems with any of the many people that we obviously had to deal with traveling around the Four Corners was when we went to the Taos Pueblo. I was really amazed. They saw, you know, two camp chairs being taken out of the bus, and they said, well, what's that for? And I said, well, we have two, you know, elderly people, and they want to sit when they meditate. Meditate? You can't pray here. And I said, well, hold on a second. And nowhere does it say you can't pray at the Taos Pueblo in any of your signs, which there are many. And isn't prayer an invocation, whereas meditation is you just clearing your mind? Well, that doesn't matter. You can't do that here. How would you like it if we came to your place and did that? I said, I'd welcome it. I would think that you would welcome it, too. So evidently, she never got the word that the 1680 Taos Revolt was over, and she was still on her war pony. So I just gave the throat-cut sign to Master Jacobs. Interesting, he has a Jewish name for a Pakistani guru. And we just tooled our way down the road in the bus. We didn't stop there. I mean, you know, what can you do?
You went to the corner deli for lunch.
No, actually, we went to quite a fine restaurant in Santa Fe. But, yeah, they stayed at all, you know, five-star hotels or four-star if there weren't any fives, and ate at all the best restaurants. And they must be, you know, he actually, I think, was what are they called? The guys that spin around the, he was a Sufi for many years. And of course, you know, in the Islamic tradition, you're not allowed to have alcohol. Well, these guys evidently were not Islamic anymore, because they, at one point, I was challenged to a drinking contest, and I politely declined, telling them that they didn't have a chance. I was Irish, And he said, well, we all have a bit of the Irish in us. So next morning, throwing out the garbage, I, you know, kind of looking at the trash there, there was a half gallon of Bacardi, a quart of Myers rum, what else, a half a bottle of Hennessy. I guess they couldn't get all the way through the cognac, and then a half a bottle of Drambuie. So evidently they had some fun that night, and I missed out. But, oh, well.
Well, we're glad to have you back, and we have a lot of great things in the offing, of course, with our new program here called Paracast Plus. Let me explain what it's all about for those who didn't hear last week's show. Paracast Plus is a premium service. You order it up with a subscription. You can get a higher resolution ad-free version of the Paracast every week. We've got a few episodes in there already. And Chris and I are working on other content. We might even do something called After the Paracast, which is kind of a separate set of interviews, open-ended, no breaks whatever, not even for bumper. But we'll go on for a few minutes. Maybe we'll talk about an episode. We'll talk about different subjects, not necessarily related to the Paracast. We'll see. There's a lot of stuff that's in the works here, and we're still working out the kinks. We also, of course, welcome your advice about the development angle. In other words, the programming of the premium area. So we certainly welcome your suggestions. To join up, you go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com, that's P-L-U-S, and you'll get instructions there how to join our forums if you're not a forum member, how to upgrade your membership to the premium membership, and that's $5 a month, $50 a year, and $50 a year means like buying 10 Starbucks Frappuccinos every year. But we think we offer a much better value than the Frappuccinos.
Yes, especially if they're low-cal.
Right. These are low-calorie Frappuccinos for $1.25 a piece. No, you can't do that. I can't even get coffee for $1.25 anymore. I was thinking, you know, every week it's $1.25. That's where I get that figure. I don't think you can do that anymore. Right now, these local convenience store down the street from me, that's $1.50 for the smallest cup of coffee. So you got to make it yourself. Break out the old coffee maker and don't give them the business. I don't know. Or they'll give you the business, however it goes. In any case, a lot of our listeners write us and say, you know what, we like the UFO stuff and all, but we've got to hear other subjects. What about Bigfoot? We do Bigfoot every so often. What about ghosts? Well, we do that from time to time. In fact, we have a fascinating little book that we're going to talk about this week. It's called The World's Most Haunted House. The World's Most Haunted House. That's quite a claim. It's the true story of the Bridgeport poltergeist on Lindley Street from William J. Hall. And he's telling us here that when all this stuff happened back in 1974, he was a mere lad of 10 years of age. And apparently thousands of people way back then witnessed this phenomenon. And part of what they're promising here in the book from William Hall is interviews and documentation that has never previously been publicized. 40 years, not publicized.
Gene, I remember hearing about this case when I arrived in New York the following year in 75. I had a friend up in Bridgeport, and they had mentioned this particular case, and it's always fascinated me. And, of course, the Warrens got involved, and Paul Eno and several other notables. And I'm really looking forward to speaking with Bill about all this.
We also have an amazing number of questions. I know one of our regular posters at forum.theparacast.com, Polterwurst, has himself given us like this huge page of questions. And if he were sitting here now, he can probably do a whole show from those questions.
Right.
That's how many. He is a great friend and a really loyal listener. And we're happy that he and other people who listen to the show have taken. He said?
Danke.
Indeed. You speak German better than I do. Danke. All I know is like Danke Shane, that song, which I hate. That's all I know about it. In any case, this is going to be an exciting episode. A change of pace for the Paracast. So let's start with it. The World's Most Haunted House from William J. Hall. A lot more to come Maybe we'll have a poltergeist tonight? No, I don't think so. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realist, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Now, just to get the connection here before we get on our guest, I should point out to our listeners that if you listen to the child's voice on the Tech Night Out Live where they say they're here, that's from the movie Poltergeist, which has nothing to do with this book. So we have William J. Hall. He's author of The World's Most Haunted House, The True Story. of the Bridgeport poltergeist on Lindley Street. Obviously, you're telling us your age here. You say you were 10 years old in 1974 when this thing happened.
Yes.
Now, okay, did you have any recollection of it then? How did you become acquainted with this event?
Well, I mean, I remembered seeing it on TV. I couldn't tell you what I saw since I was so young, but it was a very big deal growing up in Bridgeport from that time on. So my entire childhood, I mean, people had talked about it now and then. It was quite a big deal. The story actually went around the world, but of course, for those that grew up near there, it became really part of the culture, if you will. It was one of those things that people talked about whenever conversation went to those something weird. But I got involved in it many years later after forgetting about it and doing other things. And even though I wrote a newspaper article, Magic in the Unknown, I ended up never really covering that case until one morning when I was just having coffee and messing around on Facebook. And I saw somebody posted, hey, does anybody remember the haunted house on Lindley Street? And that's when it occurred to me. You know, I never really looked into that at all. So I started Googling, and after reading about 50 newspaper articles from around the country, I was really motivated to find out more about it. It just seemed there was so many, the volume and type of witnesses were such that you rarely see in these cases. So I really wanted to dig into it from there.
Now, in looking over the book, I'm seeing the mention of 2,000 witnesses. And before we get into the specifics of the event, I don't know of too many cases of any paranormal event where you have 2,000 witnesses, let alone five or six.
Oh, right. And of course, you know, some of those people, you know, do you believe all the people in the crowd? I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of rumors going on, but there were things that happened that people in the crowd could see, which certainly added to the amount of people. But for me, what mattered most was three quarters of the police department and, you know, over a dozen firefighters and newspaper reporters and priests and the family and extended family. And all of those put together were really what did it for me. Because we all know, you know, you can have 1,000 people outside look up in the sky and see a UFO, and it could certainly be something ordinary that, you know, they just don't know how to identify. But this was really something else with the amount of witnesses. Like you said, it's, you know, you're lucky enough to get one or two, and that doesn't mean that it's fake if there's one or two, but certainly this was kind of like the Roswell of haunted houses. It was a rare occurrence where, you know, the paranormal got very, very public.
Now, just very quickly here, let's kind of paint your background. So you're 10 years old when this happened. Now, before you got involved in writing about the paranormal and magic, did you have any personal experiences to call on?
I actually didn't. A few things now looking back, you know, I think perhaps they were, you know, can't really tell. Kind of look at things differently once you realize, you know, what's out there. But I can't, you know, I didn't grow up in a haunted house or anything like that. So Lindley Street was kind of a case that really sealed it for me as far as verification of these things. Although I was open-minded, you know, I had friends and people close to me that had experiences, and you know they're not lying, but, yeah, you always never quite can be sure of what exactly they experienced. But Lindley Street was just, you know, it probably is more evidence than if I saw it myself, because if I saw it myself, I don't know if I'd believe my own eyes, you know.
Right. Now, being a magician, though, a lot of times when a person is a magician, you assume they're skeptical of anything really paranormal. They figure it's all a fake.
Yes, and that's true. It's, you know, you get very jaded when you see just how miraculous things could be faked. And it's a problem. It really is difficult to believe in so many things when you are a magician. On the other hand, a lot of us got into magic because of our curiosity, the ability to wonder. So on one hand, yes, we're skeptical, but I think it's a healthy skepticism. You know,
except if you're James Randi, Penn and Teller.
Right, right. Well, you know, that's the other end. I mean, James Randi doesn't believe in anything. You know, I think he's done a lot of great work, but he wouldn't believe himself if he saw something, you know. Unlike Houdini, who had an open mind, but was a healthy skeptic. saying, you know, I'm open, I'm looking for it, I want to find it. But obviously, I don't want to be cheated either. Now, of course, the way he went about it made it so he was only going to come across fakers because he was going more into the seance and, medium kind of thing. So when you go across those people that are public, you're going to get all the fakes and charlatans and stuff in there. But I believe his heart was in the right place, that he had, an open mind. And for me, yes, quite skeptic. If they just said a picture fell off the wall, I'd say, well, I could do that. A rocking chair rocked by itself, well, I could do that. When you get to refrigerators floating and you just the context of all the evidence, you really got to look at the totality of the evidence. And that's where this makes a difference.
And this particular case has it all. It has the hoaxing. It has real events. It has total, multi-witnessed events that cannot be explained. And yet it has, at its center, it has a very interesting little girl. I think for our listeners who are not familiar with the case, don't you think we should probably start at the beginning, give a background on Marcia and her adoptive parents and really kind of set the stage for the types of things that we'll talk about later.
Now, before we do that, let me tell you, we have about a minute and 15 seconds before we break. So let's do a very brief introduction on the young lady, and then we could flesh that out in our next segment. William?
Right. We'll go before Marcia and talk about the Gooden family, who is Laura and Jerry. And they were middle age by the time this happened. And they had a little son, Jerry Jr., and he couldn't walk or talk or do anything for himself. And he died when he was six. And that's very important to the buildup of the classic poltergeist situation, which we can get into then Marcy's adoption after the break.
Hey, that's a good way of doing it. Let me tell our listeners that we are now offering an ad-free version, high-resolution version of the PowerCast for those of you who have asked us over and over again over the years to offer such a version of the show. And here's how you get it. You go to plus.theparacast.com, plus, P-L-U-S dot theparacast.com, and you'll see instructions there on how to join our forums if you're not a member of the forum, and upgrade your membership to the premium membership, PowerCast Plus, so you can download the high-resolution versions of the PowerCast. We'll have a lot of other features we'll be adding soon. So check it out. It's just $5 a month or $50 a year. We have William Hall telling us about the world's most haunted house and the background coming up with Gene and Chris. You're in
the PowerCast. A little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN. Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the Earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Fortean phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to Mr. UFO at webtv.net. That's Mr. UFO at webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Three square meals you'll need in an emergency. So the Freeze Dry Guys three square meal unit sale is just the ticket. A variety pack of tasty, nourishing breakfast, lunch, and dinner on sale now. Breakfast is Freeze Dry Guys' favorite. Hot oatmeal and sweet dehydrated bananas. Lunch is Mountain House freeze-dried hot macaroni and cheese and crisp green beans. And dinner is Mountain House long grain wild rice pilaf and hearty beef stew, vegetables, and gravy. Call Freeze Dry Guy and ask for details on the 120 26-serving, 3-square meals unit. One case normally $164.37, sale price at only $138.90. Save over $25. Get two or three cases and save even more. Or ask about Freeze Dry Guy's Fall Chili Special. Always free shipping to the lower 48 states. Call 866-404-3663 or click freezedryguy.com. And hurry, the Fall Chili Special and 3-square meals unit are on sale while supplies last. From the Freeze Dry Guy, the finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available for long-term storage, period.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply, I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com, click the blue microphone in the top right corner, and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
Now, I know when Chris was doing his bumper, the Paracast, he was very likely trying to consider what would a poltergeist sound like.
Yeah, I was channeling my inner ghost.
That's funny.
Okay. So, this young lady, tell us more about her. She was adopted by the family.
Yes. After Jerry Jr. died, about 6 months later, a priest had encouraged them that they may want to adopt a child. And they went and ended up being placed with Marcia, who was from Ontario, Canada. And she was the youngest of 9 children. And nobody's quite sure of the story with the, you know, with her family, other than she was the only child given up for adoption. It was said that she was tied to a chair, which of course implies abuse. Again, we don't have a lot of context around any of that. And she was a Five Nations Indian girl, and they adopted her, and she's very, very shy and introverted. The adoption, of course, is a big enough deal in itself. And then add to that being in downtown Bridgeport, Connecticut, she really didn't fit in with the Italian and African-American community there. So they made fun of her at school with a color of her skin plus being so shy and withdrawn. That naturally makes you a target. And after about a year of being picked on, she's beaten up by a boy in the cafeteria.
How old was she when she was adopted?
Oh, yes. She was adopted. She was 4.5 years old.
Oh. And they were beating her up?
Well, the beating up, she was 10 years old when that happened. So I'm condensing it somewhat. But, yeah, she started out in Catholic school and was doing okay. And then Jerry's hours got cut and switched her to Reed School in Bridgeport, which was a rougher, you know, inner city school situation there. And so when she was beat up, she was 10 years old. And not that that's, you know, not that that's any better, really, but, you know. And she's stuck at home with Laura mostly, you know, the mother. And they were very, very overprotective to an unhealthy degree with Marcy. Because of losing Jerry Jr., they were always scared something was going to happen to Marcy. Don't let her cross the street. She may die. Don't let her go to walk to school. She may die. So they really had this kind of unhealthy parenting style, which didn't add to all the other problems. And it was during this 6 weeks of being at home in this tiny little house. I mean, their house was a little bungalow, 738 square feet. So it was a real tiny little place. And she was stuck there in a soft body brace, recuperating from being beat up. And at the end of 6 weeks of being, you know, tutored at home and stuck, you know, with the mother, and they were kind of like flint and steel. She was more of a daddy's girl. That's when this explosion of poltergeist activity took place.
That almost explains it.
Yeah. I mean, there was enough going on in the house without the poltergeist, but you could see this is a classic kind of, you know, setup for a poltergeist. And I'm a bit different than some in that I don't, you know, one of the theories, of course, is the RSPK. I'm not big in, I'm open-minded as to what it could be, but I tend to think it's not that. But we all agree Marcy was definitely at the center of it. As a matter of fact, shortly after she was adopted in 1968 is when anything of a paranormal nature started. Very, very mild. You know, the parents didn't know it was, well, of course, they didn't use the word paranormal back then, but didn't know it was supernatural or anything. Just Jerry actually thought he might be going a little crazy. You know, he saw a door move a little or keys are being misplaced, thought I pulled the chair in, you know, that kind of activity. So it wasn't very big at all. But that happened coinciding, you know, with the adoption of Marcy shortly after.
So there was a lull then between the adoption and some indication of something that was dismissed by the parents. And then another 4 or 5 years later, that's when we really start getting into the, you know, the amazing events that transpired. After she'd been beat up and was spending time at home, now, I think that's an interesting, insightful sort of scenario there.
Yeah, that really... that really brought it up a notch. The stage two of it, you know, I said after 68, there was some mild things, but in 1971, November 71, banging sounds started on the interior and exterior of the walls, and it would actually follow them, you know, room to room. And, mostly Laura, because she was home during the day. So whenever the noise occurred during the day, you know, she would complain and follow her room to room. Jerry would call from work and hear these sounds. But it was all hours of the day and night, mostly in November. And this was in 1971.
All right. So Marcy was not at home at this point, or she was?
Right. No, she was not at home.
Okay. So yeah, we have a clear example of something unusual occurring without her being present. I think that's also important.
Yeah. In fact, in the appendix of the book, I made a list of all the incidents and where was Marcy, because, of course, you know, when this was called a hoax, she was blamed for it, too. But there were just a ton of incidents where she was just not in the house at all. And the banging sounds were a good example. Obviously, she was in the house, you know, later on and during the night, but that's, you know, that was different. And so that happened in 1971, and, you know, Jerry complained about it, but nobody was able to figure out. The police and firemen and civil engineers, they didn't understand what was going on. And so Jerry thought it may be a neighbor or construction on the hospital. You know, he's looking for all those kinds of connections.
Yeah, so for the record, reports were actually made to civil authorities. This was put on the record.
Yes. Yeah. In fact, Lieutenant Coco later on, who was the, you know, the lieutenant in charge of the situation from 74, did back up the good in saying that, you know, this was not their first call, you know, for trouble. In fact, the Goodens never actually called the police, but that's the, you know, we'll get to that. But so the lieutenant did say that, because some people were saying, well, because the exorcist came out in 73, that, you know, the family's making a big deal out of that. But their first calls to the police were in the early 70s, you know, as a result of the banging. And so they complained of those noises. And then in 1972, in November, the noises started again. And their neighbor across the street, who was a friend, you know, friend neighbor, and also was a Bridgeport police officer, Officer John Holsworth, said, Jerry, why don't we record these sounds so that the police will better be able to identify what they are? So they did that. They set up a tape recorder and recorded the sounds, and that was during the middle of the night. So, you know, Laura and Marcy were sleeping, and Officer Holsworth and Jerry recorded the sounds, and actually that tape was given to Ed and Lorraine Warren, who listeners may know from The Conjuring if, you know, they're out of the area. Ed and Lorraine Warren ended up giving it to Boyce Beatty, the lead investigator, and then Boyce ended up giving it to me, and actually that's on a web page from the book, so people can actually hear those sounds. But that tape was recorded in 72. And you know, once again, they couldn't figure out what the sounds were. But those sounds continued in 73 also, mostly in November, not exclusively. And then again in 1974, right before the larger incidents that made this a, you know, public worldwide event.
Now, that's the big point to mention here, the fact that things happened before everything just blew up in everybody's face. There were preliminary things, there were the noises, things like that, that kind of get you prepared for what was to happen next, or at least seemed to be that direction. The book is called The World's Most Haunted House. The author is William Hall, and you're on here, and we'll have questions from our listeners in a few moments with Gene and Chris. And let's see if Chris has a really good poltergeist voice here. Let's channel it. I don't really think we need to do a countdown. Let's go right into it. You're in
the Paracast.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website, powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-297-0154. That's 800-297-0154.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
That's 800-297-0154.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Hey everyone, my Ghost 80% AR-15 project was a total success. Thank you, Guns80.com. Thank you. I bought my Ghost AR-15 at Guns80.com. It's everything I expected more. Just got a note from my buddy Mark, and now they're having a huge Black Friday and a big Cyber Monday sale. Guess Christmas is coming early this year. I'm definitely ordering one for my brother on Black Friday because the price drops to $400. Yes, I did just say that. $400. Unbelievable. At Guns80.com, the big sale is on. Begins Friday, November 22nd, and ends December 1st. So hurry now. Sale prices for Ghost ARs again, $400. Black Friday will be a good day. Get your Ghost AR-15 at Guns80.com. Sale is on right now at Guns80.com. That's Guns80.com. Guns and the number 80.com. Happy holidays and Merry Christmas to everyone from our good friends at Guns80.com. The big sale is on. I'll see you there.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Well, don't quit your day job, Chris.
It's kind of like an old man. I don't know about an older guys, but yeah.
The Paracast. We'll have to get Chris on the special effects machine and maybe do a few of those things, maybe for next Halloween. Okay, so a preliminary thing. Now, before we go on to the main event here, the 1974 events, and we flesh it out more, you call it in the book The World's Most Haunted House. Is that your title or the publisher's?
That's the publisher's title. And, you know, and I questioned that and said, well, you know, how can we call this The World's Most Haunted House? And they said, well, it's really meant to embody the public nature of the event. And, you know, so I thought about it and I said, okay, I can see that. Because, you know, me being more on the humble side, I was kind of like, well, it's, you know, it's, yeah,
you could call it that if things have been going on since 74, but, evidently as soon as they left, all the activity stopped.
They actually never left the house, but they did end up getting rid of the poltergeist situation. But yeah, it was meant to embody the very public nature of the event, and that being so widespread. So I thought in the end it was a nice way to say it. But my original title was more about the address, which of course I wasn't thinking at all about, privacy and things like that. So probably was a good idea to change it. So.
All right. Let's get back to what's happening here. We're getting to the main event. It's not just the noises. More happens. What's the prelude to that?
Well, Jerry, Laura, and Marcy go to New York, as they do every other weekend, to visit family. And they come back, and Jerry is bringing in the groceries, and Laura's in the kitchen, and Marcy is still sleeping in the car. And so Jerry's bringing in groceries, and Laura's putting eggs away, and the table lifts up and flips, throwing groceries around the kitchen. And, of course, Laura screams. She's a little bit, neurotic and on edge to begin with, and this certainly didn't help for any of us.
Really, that must suck when that happens.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I count the amount of times it happens to me. There's a standalone Sylvania TV, very heavy console, that comes down on Laura's foot, ends up breaking her toe. Of course, she doesn't know it's broken at that point in time. So she screams, and Jerry comes in there, and more activity starts. Dishes are flying around the kitchen. a set of knives in a block. The block actually pulls itself off the wall. It's actually screwed to the wall, and the knives come out and fly all over. And and naturally, they're going a bit insane over it. And suddenly, it calms down a little bit. So they clean everything up, and they get Marcy.
Clean everything up? I'd be out of there. I'd be out the door going, what? And Marcy's in the car sleeping this whole time.
She's sleeping, yeah, yeah.
Now, the reason it's important to mention that through these events, she was not always in the house when this happened.
Right.
And that's very important, and maybe to emphasize again and again, especially when you pointed out that one of the early events occurred when she was not in the home. So she's sleeping in the car.
Right. Yeah, there's divvied it out, but I would say it's probably around 60-40, 50-50 of events, you know, where she was there or not there. And it's funny what you say about, you know, I'd be out of the house and you know, I'm thinking I would too. And what's really strange is in all my research, it appears that in real life, people usually don't leave. It's very strange. But I guess there's a lot of differences between these things when they happen for real versus in Hollywood. You know, in Hollywood, there's always one response, which is, you know, the scream and run and whatnot. And in real life, you get a variety of emotions. You know, you just don't get the one emotion. Now, bear in mind, Laura and Jerry didn't believe in the supernatural. So, you know, they weren't sure what was causing it, but they weren't thinking it was a ghost or a higher force or anything like that. At least at this point, eventually they have to come to terms and start questioning everything. But so they're not really, you know, those kinds of people, even though they are very religious. So you can say in a sense, well, wouldn't they believe in this kind of stuff? But they're pretty simple people. He's a maintenance man. You know, she's a housewife. And they're just your salt of the earth, hardworking people, and they don't really believe in any of that stuff.
Yeah, but if Beelzebub tries, you know, to put away the groceries and throws knives around the room and toes get broken, I would think that would be a wake up call, regardless of your belief system.
Yeah. I mean, well, I can't disagree with you. I can't possibly think of me doing anything but running. But, you know, that's me. So and there were plenty of times where they didn't stay in the house. But, it's like I said, it's very, that's one of the things that I found to be most unusual is the tenacity of the people when things happen in their own home. They tend not to leave, or if they do, they tend to leave for periods of time versus, permanently.
It takes then an awful lot to convince anybody to leave a home when things go wrong. We're so tied to our homes. We have so much invested in it that even if the house is damaged, you want to rebuild it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I mean, like I said, to Chris's point, I would have been out the door. I mean, I'm thinking I would have been. I can't imagine me being braver in real life than in my imagination, but, you know, who knows? But they did, it quieted it down, so they didn't know what to do. And it's kind of the thing of now, who do you talk about it? They did stay up till about 3 a.m. that morning and finally got to bed. And Jerry woke up the next morning and looked all around the house. That's the start of their kind of new normal, where Jerry would always be the one first in the house. He would always be the one to look around the house, that kind of thing. And that morning, he found the refrigerator blocking the door. And the table flipped again, and they had these three recliner chairs in the living room, and they were opening and closing by themselves. Now, that is the point where Jerry said, you know, to himself, you know, that's it. And he went and woke up Laura and Marcy, and they left the house on the porch, and they were, hysterical, trying to get the attention of Janet, the daughter of Officer Holdsworth, who lived across the street, saying, please go get your father. We're in trouble here. At the same time, the only person that they called is Laura had called. She gave a quick call to the close friends of theirs to let them know that they're in trouble. They actually didn't call the police, which you know, I guess they figured, what are the police going to do? But the wife ended up calling the police. The wife of the couple, they called, and then the husband went on his way to the home. But I actually have a bit of an interview, if now's a good time to play, of Officer John Holsworth being interviewed later that day, and he'll explain how this all started, how he got involved.
Yeah, perfect timing.
We'd love to hear it. Now, we have only about 2 minutes left in this segment. Is the interview run longer than that or what?
Yeah, it's about 3.5 minutes.
Let's do this. Let's head the next segment with the interview.
Yeah.
Yes, that sounds good.
This is a great idea for Depends, the adult diaper people. Boy, I'll tell you, make a great to have people in a haunted house with knives flipping around and stuff. It'd be great. Hey, when this happens to you, make sure you got on your Depends.
That's right, because, you know, even if you can control yourself, you don't always have time to take a break then, you know.
So we'll hear that interview on our next segment, but I wanted to mention, because I was making kind of a crack about it before, about the so-called poltergeist girl that says they're here, and her name was, and I'll say was for a reason, Heather O'Rourke, and she died at the age of 12 years.
Yeah.
Cardiac arrest, really sad. Beautiful little blonde girl, and that was her claim to fame, that at 5 years old, she appeared in this movie, Poltergeist, which was a 1982 movie. Right. And we have used that on my other radio show, The Tech Night Owl Live, for 12 years. We've played that little thing at the beginning.
Yeah, but she's talking about Microsoft when she says that.
No doubt. It actually signified the fact that when The Tech Night Owl Live first debuted, there were two hosts, myself and my son Grayson. He, of course, decided to find a way to go as far as he could from his parents when he became old enough to go out to seek his own fortune. So he went to Spain. He might have thought about Australia, but which is even farther away from us, obviously. But he picked Spain because he had friends there. I'm kidding. Grayson's a great guy. He's going to be here in December. Chris, you'll meet him. We have William Hall, author of The World's Most Haunted House, and we'll hear that interview with an officer of the law in our next segment with Gene and Chris. You're in
The Paracast.
You're listening to GCN, proudly sponsored by UnseenNow.com. Lock down your digital life at UnseenNow.com. This is GCN. Genesis is defined as an origin, creation, or the beginning. Genesis Communications Network began with the mission of providing you with the kind of compelling content you're listening to now. And at GCNLive.com, you'll find a free archive of our nation's history, narrated by GCN hosts. Explore, share, and pass down to future generations. GCN is the future of talk radio, but we should always strive to learn from our past. Together, we are GCNLive.com. GCN.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Do you have relatives and friends that are convinced there is no need ever to prepare for any kind of emergency? Are these also folks you buy Christmas presents for? At 30dayfoodsupply.com, we can solve both of these problems at the same time. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010. We can ship your Christmas presents directly to them. Choose from our original $99 30-day food supply, our long-term storage vegan burger mixes, and other oatmeal, soups, porridges, beans, and granolas for everyday use. All products are non-GMO, MSG-free, and vegetarian. Most are gluten, soy, and nut-free. Call 541-229-0010 today. Oregon Trail Foods and 30dayfoodsupply.com keep prices low, cutting out the middleman by buying directly from their producers in Oregon. Remember, only $10 ships your entire order to the lower 48. Visit the website 30dayfoodsupply.com. Call 541-229-0010. 30dayfoodsupply.com, 541-229-0010.